The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Hey, good morning. It is The Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker, Glenn Van Zutphen, as well as Ryan Huang. We welcome into the studio the CEO of Motley Fool Singapore, David Kuo, for an April markets wrap. David, welcome back.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
So we're going to do an April markets wrap.
Okay.
I'm sure this will come up again in just a while. What was the highlight of last month for you, Glenn?
My highlight has extreme financial implications.
Oh.
Extreme. My daughter turned 13 years old, my firstborn child.
Wow.
And already I'm like, Dad, can I have some pocket money?
Oh,
Dad, can I? And she did her first outing with her girlfriends to the shopping mall to have lunch and go shopping. So $50 gone. And it's only the beginning.
Yeah. When she turns 18, I have some recommendations.
This is the family show, okay?
Boyfriend deterrence.
No, she's not dating until she's 21, so that's a given.
That's not bad, right? You see, most fathers will say, she's not dating until I date.
Or until Britain leaves the European Union.
Okay, yeah.
And I did tell her that. I said, you can start dating when Britain leaves the EU officially. And they sort out Ireland. When that happens, then you can start dating.
Oh, God. Well, highlight for me was I decided to do a bit of remodeling, DIY, repainted the wall. And then I sat there and told myself, I told my partner, hey, you know what? We can move to a country that appreciates vocational work and I'll be a painter. I'll be like a sexy painter.
So your highlight was actually watching paint dry.
Yeah, then she told me to go eat a salad. Maybe what was the highlight for you?
Chelsea up in the... Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, you're cementing top four spot.
I know,
well.
It looks
good.
Pretty good, yeah. After that draw with Manchester United.
I don't know what you're talking about. Brian, take it away.
All right. Hey, let's take a look at what happened last month in the markets, David. So far, markets had a pretty good run since the start of the year, and pretty good start to the second quarter as well, looking at the Straits Times Index, up about 5% to where it is now at 3,400 points.
Yep.
So pretty good start to April. Give us a sense, what do you take away when you look at the top winners? We're looking at DBS. It gained 12% in April.
Well, I think, you know, banks in general have done pretty well. I mean, I think it all started over in the U.S. when we had those figures from J.P. Morgan Chase, and we had a look at some of the other American banks, and they were all doing pretty well. And then over here in Singapore, we got those blowout numbers from DBS Group. I think it was record quarterly profits for DBS. So I've always been touting the banks, and I said the banks were kind of neglected. And I think, you know, people should be focusing on the banks because ultimately the banks are at the forefront of any economy. And if you think that the economies are doing well, and of course the American economy is doing well, and if you have a look at Southeast Asia, you would say that most of the economies are doing well. So banks that are exposed to those kind of economies will do well. So I'm not really that surprised, you know, that DBS had a good quarter.
DBS net profit was up 9%, and it had net interest margins rising about 5 basis points. So you are seeing a bit of a benefit from the rise in interest rates.
Yeah.
So we will get UOB's results tomorrow morning. And this is actually the second top gainer for the month of April. What are you expecting tomorrow?
I think more of the same. You know, what is good for DBS is also good for UOB. And I think, you know, that is probably what the market is saying, that because, you know, DBS's results were strong, then, of course, expecting pretty much the same from UOB as well. And I think you'll see, you know, an increase in the net interest margins there. And the thing you have to remember about the net interest margin is that they are in control of that margin. I mean, when I go around the table and ask people how much are you earning on the interest that you put in your savings account at the bank?
Not much.
Exactly, yeah. But at the same time, they can increase, you know, the amount that they borrow, that people borrow from the banks. So that is quite strong for them.
All right, so David, you've got this Fed, you know, deciding to pause interest rates like many other central banks around the world. What does it mean for banks? You know, is it going to be a picture of slowdown, especially when you look at the loans book? I think DBS property loans were affected by the July property cooling measure, so it's seen a drop there. But is it going to be, I guess, better going on from here?
Well, I think so, because I think as far as the loan book was concerned, there was a pause in the mortgage loans. And what you have to remember also is that there are lots of companies around Southeast Asia and in Singapore that are having a look and saying, Will we be borrowing money at some point in time to reinvest in our businesses and expand? And they're just waiting for some kind of outcome between China and America over the trade war. If there is a good resolution between those two, then I think what you will find is that C word will come back. Confidence will come back. And then, you know, the businesses will start reinvesting again. And when they start doing that, they'll go to the banks and borrow money. I mean, who else are they going to borrow money from? Elliot?
So this brings us to our third gainer for April. We're looking at Wilmer International up 10%. So how is high oil prices going to be affecting Wilmer?
Well, the thing about high oil prices is that it has this effect on other commodities. And when you have a look at Wilmer, it is heavily involved in the palm oil industry. And if oil prices go up, then indirectly, you would expect palm oil prices to go up also. So I think, you know, that is probably why, you know, people are jumping on the bandwagon and saying that if oil prices, you know, remain at above $70 a barrel for all kinds of reasons, then, of course, you know, palm oil prices will go up too. And so that could be good for Wilmer.
All right, we're chatting with David Kuo. He is the CEO of Motley Fool Singapore, helping us to break down the top winners and losers on the STI. So on to the losers, David. So we're looking at where the top Dairy Farm Holdings, down 6.2%. What's going wrong there for Dairy Farm?
I don't think an awful lot's going wrong with Dairy Farm. By the way, I own shares in Dairy Farm. I also own shares in DBS that I talked about earlier, and also UOB. But I think, you know, Dairy Farm, which owns cold storage here in Singapore, and also supermarkets in Hong Kong, they are trying to look at their supermarket business and trying to sort of bring it up to what consumers are requiring today. There is a good example over in the UK. There was a big supermarket chain called Tesco. They needed to revamp also because they were finding that their business was being slowly eroded by the low-cost supermarkets. And what Dairy Farm is doing now is saying that we need to rethink our entire supermarket business because there is competition out there. And so therefore, it's going to take them a while to turn around their business. And during this turnaround time, it's going to be difficult for shareholders, but focus on the company. The company is still generating cash, so I'm not really too concerned. It could take, you know, a year, 2 years to turn around the entire Dairy Farm business, which obviously includes things like cold storage here. And if you remember, I mean, we did have this giant supermarket here in Singapore, and they are closing the giant stores because that format just didn't work anymore. That big store format just didn't work anymore. It's really quite disappointing because I used to buy my ironing board covers from from Giant, and now I don't know where to get my ironing board cover from.
I'll try to help you out after the show.
Okay, thank you.
All right, David, VentureCorp not doing well last month as well, and we are seeing a bit of impact on shifting supply chains.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about VentureCorp is that the results weren't that bad. But what VentureCorp did say, in fact, was that when supply chains are being moved from China, we know that supply chains are being moved from China to the rest of Southeast Asia, it is going to cause some kind of disruption. And I think it was that word disruption that is unsettling the market a little.
Okay, and the last one on the list, top loser, number three, Genting Singapore, down 5.3%. What's happening in Genting? We did get a lot of, well, big news out there. We are getting a lot of attractions in RWS. So why isn't this helping Genting?
Well, I think it's because, you know, sometimes investors are a little impatient. Genting has got plenty of cash out there. And I think, you know, as far as investors are concerned, there's two things you can do with that cash. You can either give it to shareholders in the form of dividends, or you can sort of start thinking about reinvesting those dividends, which is what Genting is doing. But when you start reinvesting those dividends back into Resort World Sentosa, it's going to take time. And I think sometimes investors want their jam today rather than jam tomorrow. Yeah.
All right. We've been chatting with David Kuo. He is the CEO of Motley Fool Singapore.
David, of course, the big one this morning has to be the Fed rate decision. What's your take from it? The markets didn't seem to take it too well.
Well, I think, you know, what the markets were hoping for was an interest rate cut.
Yes.
And the interest rate cut didn't arrive. And in fact, there was a hint that there could be an interest rate rise even because as far as the Fed chair was concerned, I mean, what Jay Powell said was, we don't really know where inflation is going. It could go either way. And what he said was that the low inflation we're seeing at the moment is only transitory. Mm-hmm. And it was that word transitory that was really sort of spooking the market. Mm. And we all know that, you know, inflation is transitory. I'll tell you what, Elliot, I was looking at a number of companies that were talking about why they were not performing that well. These are American companies. Why they were not performing that well in the last quarter. And one thing that came out was wage inflation. They were talking about rising wages and how wage cost was impacting, you know, their total expenses. When you think about it, I mean, the moment you start getting wage inflation, it won't be that long before you start getting consumer prices inflation.
Okay.
Because if you ask for more pay, right, you're going to get more money in your pocket. Mm. When you have more money in your pocket, you're going to buy that pot of paint again, and you're going to repaint your wall, right?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly, because that is what you do.
Yeah.
That paint. So, therefore, what we end up with is lots of people going out there, buying lots of paint, right? And then paint prices will go up, and other things will go up, and, of course, you start getting inflation. And when you start getting inflation, then the Fed has to act.
Right. So that spending power has to go up first.
But the thing is, that is where the wage inflation comes in.
Sure.
Because you can't spend what you haven't got.
Mm.
So when you start getting more wages, then you will start going out and start thinking, oh, you know, I can put more on my credit card. I can spend more money. Mm. That is how inflation starts.
That's so I think
what the Fed is actually saying is that the low inflation we're seeing at the moment is due to kind of artifacts around the place. Maybe it's low oil prices.
Sure.
But we know that oil prices have gone back up to $70. It wasn't that long ago when we were sitting here talking about oil at $40 a barrel. Now it's $70. So therefore, when it costs you more to put petrol in your car, then of course, you know, you're going to say, well, I'm going to have to ask my boss for more money.
You need to have more to be able to put more in.
Yeah, and then you have a look at those payroll numbers in America. I mean, another 200,000 jobs are being created this month. So every month, another 200,000 jobs. Eventually, you're going to run out of people to employ. And then when you want to employ people, you're going to have to pay them more money.
So we had some interesting comments, changing channels here just a little bit, from Apple CEO Tim Cook during his earnings call. He says that he's more optimistic on China now than 90 days ago. This, of course, is coming with this news about Huawei jumping in and really starting to pick up some steam in the global handset and mobile device market. What do you feel about Tim Cook's optimism? Do you think it's well placed that they're going to be continuing to come back strong in China?
I think so. And I think you have to remember where Apple positions itself. Apple is not sort of selling phones, cheap phones, to the mass market.
Yeah.
Apple is selling expensive phones to people who are prepared to pay that kind of premium. And there will be people in that category wherever you look in the world. And so as far as China is concerned, we know that there are lots of wealthy people in China who do want to own Apple phones and differentiate themselves from the people who buy the Xiaomi's and the Huawei's.
Sure.
So therefore, I think, you know, it will come back. And I think, you know, what is also happening in China is that they are trying to figure out where they fit as far as the world is concerned. I mean, we know that the Chinese economy is slowing, and it has to slow, but at the same time, there are still lots of people who are earning lots of money in China.
At the same time, though, the Huawei's and the Xiaomi's are also moving up the value chain. I mean, they're coming out, especially Huawei's coming out with some really nice higher end, I won't say highest end, but higher end products to compete with Apple and with Samsung as well. So, I mean, that would surely have some impact as well, right? And maybe moderate some success of Apple in the future?
Well, it is very difficult to position yourself at the top end of the market if you already have a very strong base at the bottom end of the market.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
If you are at the top end, you remain in the top end. And that is why, you know, Apple is very reluctant always to sort of cut prices, because they say, we are a top-end producer. We don't really want to sort of produce cheaper phones.
Yeah.
But if you are a cheap phone maker and you want to move yourself up to the top end, it's almost impossible to do.
Interesting.
I mean, a Rolls-Royce will always be a Rolls-Royce.
Sure.
A Rolls-Royce will never make a cheap car, right?
A Kia will never be a Rolls-Royce.
Well, exactly. You either stay there or you actually sort of focus on the mass market. So I think as far as Apple is concerned, they're doing the right things. And what they're also doing is saying that maybe the top-end market is kind of saturated at the moment. They haven't got anything new to come along. So that is why they're focusing on services.
The services part, yeah.
And services are coming through for Apple.
Okay. We're speaking this morning with David Kuo, CEO of Motley Fool Singapore. David, what do you make of the shape of the U.S. economy? I mean, we touched this very briefly earlier on. Private payrolls based on ADP data increased by 275,000 in April. That's easily blowing by a Dow Jones estimate of, I believe it's 177,000. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on this?
Well, the thing is, the American economy is doing well. I don't think we can deny that. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you are a Trump supporter or whether you are not a Trump supporter, you cannot deny that the American economy...
The numbers are good.
Yeah, the numbers are good. Yeah. I mean, when you sort of see the American economy... I know the last quarter said that the American economy grew 3.2% in the first quarter. But I think that's an anomaly. I don't think, you know, elephants don't gallop, right? Mm. Well, I don't think they do. Yeah, elephants don't gallop. Yeah. You ever seen a galloping elephant? No. Okay, so elephants don't naturally gallop, right? Unless they are scared.
Yeah. Or there's a mouse.
Unless there's a mouse. So anyway, the American economy generally grows at around 2 to 2.5%. And I think if it does do that, then that's pretty good. What they need to do is to sort of bring more people in from the workforce, which they are also doing. More people in the workforce means there's more people spending money.
Sure.
And about 2/3 of any economy is the driver of GDP growth. So I think the American economy is doing okay.
David, let's look at South America now. Venezuela, conflict there is escalating. What's the worst case scenario to impact markets there, you know, the geopolitical economic impact of what might happen?
Well, I think the worst case scenario is Maduro staying in power. And I think that would be terrible because we know that there has been some things going on in Venezuela that shouldn't have done. And he really shouldn't be in power.
Yeah.
And so therefore, they have to sort it out themselves. I know America wants to get involved in that, and there are other countries,
a lot of countries
that want to get involved in that, but it is a domestic issue. And the moment you start having outside forces coming in to interfere in the internal politics, I don't think that is the right thing to do. But that's my personal view. I know other people may say, you know, when you see some wrongdoing somewhere, you should go and help out.
Sure.
But I think as far as Venezuela is concerned, the Venezuelans are pretty capable of themselves, you know, trying sort of that domestic issue. And they will decide who they want as their leader.
So market impact in the near term, assuming this doesn't get worked out?
Well, the impact will obviously be oil, Glenn. I mean, it will have a huge impact on oil. And we're already sort of seeing, because of that conflict in Venezuela, fewer people buying the Venezuelan oil. That is pushing up oil prices. Yeah. But if they manage to sort that problem out, I mean, Venezuela should be one of the richest countries in the world when you think about it. Mm-hmm. But there's obviously been some issues within there that has not allowed the country to prosper the way that it has. But if they can sort it out, then oil prices will come down and that should be good for the rest of the world.
We've been speaking with David Kuo, CEO of Motley Fool Singapore. David, thanks a lot for taking the time this morning.
You're welcome.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.